الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق الأمين: الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Many of us have interactions with many people in our lives. And you know, there are some people who are really close to us, there are some people who are less close to us, some people who are just merely acquaintances, maybe some people we've only met one time in our life. And so there, in the social networks and the social web that we live in, different people have different levels of proximity to where we exist. Right? If we use ourselves as a nexus, then different people are, some people are closer and some people are farther. And depending on how close someone is or how far someone is, many times the way that we interact with those people, the way we deal with those people are very different. For those people who are a bit farther away, we're generally a little bit more careful in what we say and how we say it. So we think twice, we evaluate what we say, there's some calculations which are done. A person is mindful lest they say something which offends the other person, because you're always afraid of either losing that, that connection between that individual and severing that connection, because it's a very tenuous connection. They're very far away, and so sometimes something very minor can lead to just completely cutting off that connection. So, and I'll give you a practical example. And for those people who are closer, right, we're less worried about losing that connection. So if you meet someone when you're passing by and you say hi, right, and then they just give you a dirty look, right, a person would say, I never want to talk to this person again. Right, or you go to the store and one of the clerks speaks to you in a gruff manner, then you're like, I never want to shop at that store again. Because the person you've only met once in their life, the distance was already very far, and something very minor happens, and then that's enough to completely cut the relationship. However, if a person looks to those people who are close to them, many times they'll speak gruffly with them, and many times they might give them a dirty look. But that doesn't say that, I'm going to divorce you, right? And no one says, you're not my son anymore when something like that happens, because the relationship is much, much closer, and a much more stable relationship. And the more familiar, the closer a person is and the more familiar they are, the less formal the relationship also becomes. So people don't think as much before they say things. They're sometimes much more open. They're much more, sometimes they're much more ready to joke with the other person. There's just a looser, there's much less calculations involved, right? Because they're just your family. So, your family, your close friends, so on and so forth. So while that's good to have a level of, bait takallufi, and a level of not really being so calculated with those people who we love and those people who are close to us, at the same time, when you let this go completely, then it can also run a little bit overboard as well. Meaning that sometimes people become very unmindful about stepping over boundaries. So when a person is close, those boundaries get very blurred, right? And they become much more fluid and they become less rigid. That doesn't mean that boundaries don't exist. And so when someone is very close, sometimes people become very casual about making, putting the other person down, right? So you have a good buddy, you guys are all everyone's hanging out, having dinner, and then everyone gangs up on one person, right? And they start ripping on him, right? They just start making jokes about him and making fun of him and this and that. And everyone's laughing and they're having a good time, but no one knows, maybe in his heart, maybe he doesn't feel so good about it. He's not going to say it with his friends. He doesn't want to jeopardize the relationship with his friends. But that day, maybe something went too far, right? And then the person holds something in his heart that, I feel bad. Sometimes maybe a girl is talking to her best friend on the phone, and she makes a very snide comment, or she makes a very sharp comment. And she's much more apt to do that because, you know, they have such a deep relationship. She's not afraid of losing the person, so she's just open and free about it. So she makes a very sharp comment, but that sharp comment goes straight to this person's heart. You take the relationship sometimes between a parent and their child, right? Sometimes the parent will say something very sort of stern and very harsh to the child, right? Sometimes if a mother is very mad, she'll say, "I don't know why I have children like you," or "No, I wish I never had children," something like that. But then it's a very small statement. The mother obviously doesn't mean it, and the only reason she would never say something like, I mean, you don't walk to someone on the street and tell them, you know, "Oh, I wish, you know, God never created you." No one would ever say something like that because, you know, you just don't have that relationship. But because there's people are so close, then they start, you know, those boundaries get blurred and people are able to say things like, you know, that are very hurtful. And when those things which are said are very hurtful, that's something that we have to be very careful about. So we talked about, you know, saying things which could be hurtful to someone or acting in a way that could be hurtful to someone. And it comes in a riwayah that ana inda munkasiratul qulub aw kama qal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am with that individual whose heart is broken. And the Sufiya would, you know, often talk about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a very soft place for the person whose heart is broken. So this is something that, you know, a person can have their prayer, a person can have their salah, they can have their amamas, and they can have their long beards, and they can have their shalwars, and they can have their dhikr. But this is one thing that first puts a, you know, a dagger in a person's spirituality and in terms of their spiritual progress. That any single individual, right, that if you hurt their heart, that is something to be very scared of. Right? There is a, because that was in Muslim, the dua of the Muslim is going straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it comes in, you know, the first narration that I mentioned, أَظُلْمُ ظُلُمَاتُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, that any type of oppression is going to be multiple darknesses on the day of, I mean, it's sometimes translated as darkness on the day of Qiyamah, but the word in Arabic is ظُلُمَات, multiple darknesses. And the idea is that in the same way that ظُلْم, I mean, there's many different interpretations, but one way you can look at it, in the same way that ظُلْم is different, this will create different types of darknesses on the day of Qiyamah. And the trials and the hardships, particularly that a person will face on the day of Qiyamah for oppressing another person, for transgressing against another person, will be as if they are drowning in those trials and hardships. That's why it will be multiple darknesses. The person, when they think about ظُلْم, right, people like to think, oh, that's Hitler, right, or that's, you know, some tyrant king that's doing zulm on someone else. But zulm, I mean, if you really look at it, is when you basically transgress al-i'tida'u 'ala haqq biduni wajhin shar'i, that you're going over someone else's right without any sharia basis. So something as simple as someone says something to you, if you say something back to them, but you say something which is even an iota more, right? So someone responds to you a little bit harshly. You respond back to them harshly, but you go a little bit more than what they responded to you, then technically you've done zulm on them. And these type of things, I mean, what is the scale that you use to measure harshness? Right? What is the scale that you use to measure rudeness? There's no scale, right? And because there's no real scale, that's why a person should be very careful when they want to retaliate, because it's very easy to go more over what a person has actually done. And this will actually become a source of tremendous regret on the Day of Judgment. A person will say, so when I said that, you know, it's not necessarily like a Hitler or, you know, some mass killer. The word is really often arises as literally with those people who we're closest with, husband and wife. Right? Wife says something, and then immediately the husband fires back. But he gets so mad that she said the first thing in the first place that he fires back more than what the wife said. Right? So then zulm has been done. Now when he did that, he hit a raw nerve. Right? So now the wife, she fires back, finding something from somewhere that happened a long time ago, and pulling that out and sticking in his face. Right, and before you know it, each party is doing one zulm on another and over another, and shaitan is rejoicing. Right, shaitan is rejoicing. Right, it happens between sibling to sibling. One sibling says something to the other sibling, right? Then the other sibling says, "Oh, but this, and that." And then one person pushes him. Then he goes back and he gives him two punches, and this goes by and he gives him three kicks. And before you know it, it's zulm on top of zulm on top of zulm on top of zulm. Right? All of this is zulm. Right? It's clearly zulm. Right? There's no doubt in my mind that this is zulm. This happens between, you know, a parent and a child. Child makes a mistake, you know, parent gets angry, and sometimes the punishment they give is because to satisfy their nafs, right, and satisfy their anger, rather than to correct their child. It's not for their tarbiyah. That's why, I believe it was Mawlana Zakariya, rahimahullah, he said that when he used to get mad at his child, he would not hit the child and he would not reprimand the child at that point. He would wait until his anger subsided, and then later, at a later point, he would go back and he would do the tarbiyah, and he would rectify the child so that he knew clearly that his intention was not to satisfy his own nafs, not to satisfy his own anger, but rather to rectify the child. Right? These people had such a pure life that they lived, that they weren't doing it for themselves. Right? It wasn't for their own ego. It wasn't for their own thing that, oh, how dare you say this to me, or how dare you do that to me. So one aspect of this is a person should be, in their daily interactions, they should be very careful about saying too much, particularly with those people who are, because you're not, I mean, people think that zulm is done about those people that you don't care about, that you don't know about. If I'm going to oppress anyone, it's going to be that person that I don't know anybody. But that's not who zulm occurs with. The zulm occurs with those people who are closest to you, that you interact with on a daily basis, that you, who, you know, who you say that you love the most, but those are the people that we end up doing the most zulm about. So those are the people that we have to be careful about, and we have to really watch what we say, and watch how we say it, when we say it, how much we say it. And because there's no clear measure, because there's no clear measure of what is, you know, these are all intangibles, right? All these interpersonal relationships. It's not, there's no like a standardized scale that you can really use to measure these type of things. The safe approach, right, for the Muslim, is don't say something to another individual which is negative, even in jest, right? Even in joke. So you're hanging out with another person, and you say, oh man, you're such a loser, right? And then they both start laughing. People say that, right? And maybe the person will take it very lightly and not care. But then as soon as you said that, you're running the risk, right? You're running the risk of saying something that might have hurt his heart. So why take that risk? That person might never open up to it, right? I mean, I remember there was this one sister who was going for Hajj, and she helped this other sister out so much, right? She, like, you know, did so much khidmah for this other sister, and really was her, like, you can say, muhsin. And when she was going for Hajj, she said, you know, generally we have this, people say that, oh, if I've done anything to you, please forgive me, and this and that. But in her mind, there was nothing she had ever said to this person. She's only done good and favors to this other person. So the other sister, she said back to him, she said, yeah, I had a lot of things in my heart, but inshallah, I'll forgive you for Allah's sake. And this person was just thinking to himself, what are you talking about? I've never even done anything to you. But this sometimes happens, right? Because when you, sometimes we say things very inadvertently without ever thinking, but people inside, they're very sensitive, right? And they pick up things, and they're sometimes what you, the things that we say that we don't mean, it actually hurts them. Imagine when we actually mean it, how much it can hurt someone. So sometimes, you know, when people are playing around, joking around, even between husband and wife, when they joke with each other, right, and sometimes become very casual, right, so the wife is like, oh, did you sleep enough, right, or she says, oh, you know, she's like, oh, you're always sleeping, come on, stop being so lazy, or this and that, and, you know, it's casual comments, or the husband might be say, you know, something to the wife, like, oh, you actually decided to dress up today, right, and he's just joking, you know, like, because just pulling her leg, and she's pulling his leg. But maybe it's touching, it touches a nerve. And when you say something with a negative connotation, right, then it can have an, it has an effect on a person's heart. So be very careful, right? The safe way, the careful way, is just don't say anything, even in jest, right? That could possibly be taken in a negative way, right? You, a person has a choice. Instead of saying something negative, like for, I gave you the example, so say maybe a sister doesn't dress up that much for the husband. One day she dresses up and he says, oh, you decided to dress up today. Right? And he's happy that she dressed up and he wasn't trying to put her down, but she feels so bad because, you know, maybe she was struggling with this for so long. She actually does it one day and now he puts her down. Instead, you can say, wow, dear honey, you look so beautiful today. Right? When she says that, now she'll be so happy. She'll do it the next day, in fact. Right? And then he can give her another compliment. So something... If a person has a choice for saying something positive and saying something negative, if you're going to make jokes, just make positive jokes, right? And that was the message of Rasulullah, that even when he used to make a joke, he would only speak the truth, right? He'd only say truth. That's one thing. The other thing is that understand that we never want to be on the side of being the oppressor. And a person has to be very careful about this, because there's actually a riwayah. Forget about being the oppressor. Being even a bystander where oppression is occurring, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such a dislike for oppression that if a person watches, is watching oppression occurring, and he keeps silent, then even in that situation, that person is being put at risk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will avenge the person who is being oppressed, both in this life and the hereafter. Right? The riwayah is in Tabrani. So very, another riwayah in Sahih of Imam Muslim, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have forbidden oppression upon my own self, and I have forbidden it on man. So do not oppress each other. Now obviously when you say Allah has forbidden oppression on himself, what the meaning for that is, obviously it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mandating something on himself. It's inconceivable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do any type of zulm. That's the real meaning there. Zulm is inconceivable in the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't transgress, He doesn't oppress. But this is something that Allah, it's such a beautiful way of explaining that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do it, then we definitely should not do it to each other. So that's one side. Neither should we be an oppressor, nor should we be a bystander, or an aider in any type of oppression, or be very careful about saying anything or doing anything that can hurt someone's heart. The other side, so one side is being on the oppressor side. The other side is being on the other side of the coin and becoming oppressed. So, you know, many times a person is not on this side of the table, they're on that side of the table. You go somewhere, you go to a party, with some of the sisters, she says something, and it just hurts so much that you just come home and you want to cry. Right? You cry to your husband, you might cry to your mom, you may cry to no one, right? You might just cry to Allah because there's no one to listen and it just hurts so much you can't tell anyone else. Sometimes a parent might say something to a child, it hurts so much that they cry themselves to bed. A husband might say something to a wife that hurts, she gets so hurt that she just cries herself to sleep. So when a person is in that situation, sometimes very negative feelings come up and a person doesn't know, how do I handle this? What do I do in this situation? I'm feeling so overwhelmed with the situation of, it seems like everything around you is just dark, right? And the grief is overcoming a person, they're drowning in grief. And you know, there's so much dukkh, right? We say like in their heart is crying. So how do you deal with that situation? One very thing, important thing, that if a person is ever in that situation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from, you know, having broken hearts, but when you're in that situation, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not bad, because أَنَا إِنْ دَمُنْكَسِرَةُ الْقُلُوبِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a time when a person is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close to a person. So you should use advantage of that person. I'll tell you very simply, if a person has never cried in their salah, then what you should do is go and offer 2 rakat nafil when your heart is really hurting. You will see how easy it is to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tears will start flowing. You will feel so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you may have never felt that way before in the past. Right? It's actually an opportunity. Right? Spend a little bit of time making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making a prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describing your situation. Ya Allah, my heart is hurting. I don't have anyone to talk to. I can only speak to you. And just pour your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then ask for Jannah, and ask for piety, and ask for His love, and ask for His ma'rifah, and ask for closeness to Him, and ask for, you know, istiqamah, and ask for thabat, and ask for tawakkul, and ask for every good thing that you want. And we hope that because in this particular time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much attention to that person, that dua will be accepted. Right? It's not something which is munhasir, or that's restricted to that, you know, negative situation that the person is facing. And so it's reminded of a story that I recently heard, but there was this one man. He was an older man, like very elderly man, maybe 80 years old. And he was also married, and his wife was also really elderly. She was like 70 or 80, and she was a very pious lady. And she, you know, did what pious ladies do, and you know, in her ibadah and whatnot. And she had one desire that she wanted to see Rasulullah in her dream. This is a desire that anyone who has love for Rasulullah, they want to see him, right? And they don't want to wait for the akhirah, they want to see him in this life. So she wanted to see him very much in a dream, and she tried very much, she was never able to see him. So one day she came and told her husband her predicament, her dilemma, and she said, you know, I really want to see Rasulullah in my dream. So the husband, he advised her, and he said, oh, I have something for you, right? Let me give you a nuskha. Let me give you some type of, you know, plan. This is what you need to do. Inshallah, you're going to see Rasulullah. So he says, tomorrow's the day of Jummah. So on the day of Jummah, I want you to get dressed up, right? Wear your bridal dress, you know, put on makeup. Just become like a bride, right? And just make yourself so beautiful. And inshallah, you know, tomorrow's Jummah, and you know, things will work out. And tomorrow night, inshallah, you'll see, you know, Rasulullah in your dream, something like that. So she was, I mean, an innocent young lady, and innocent lady, and she was, she said, okay, my husband said it, inshallah it will work. So she took her husband's word for it, and she went and got out her, you know, wedding jewelry, and she took out her old wedding dress that was probably in her closet, and dressed up, and she, you know, her hopes were all up, and she said, my husband's going to see me, and this and that. So in the meantime, the husband, he goes to the wife's sister, brother, and he goes to the brother and he says, you know, your sister, she's messed up. Right? There's something wrong with her. And he says, what do you mean? And he says, just come to the house and check her out. You know what I'm talking about, right? So he comes to the house and he sees her made up like a bride and trying to act all young and this and that. So he says, you know, what, I mean, in that society, in that cultural milieu, is considered inappropriate for someone at that age to act like a spring chicken. So he gave it to her, the brother. He gave it to her one way. And the husband was standing right there, and he told her, your husband came and told me about you, that you're like this. And so he just gave it to her one way, and she was just crying and crying and crying. So she went back to, she went to sleep, and she went, you know, she fell asleep in a state with a broken heart, right? Literally with a broken heart. And that night she saw Rasulullah. So when she saw Rasulullah, when she got up, obviously she was really happy that she saw Rasulullah. But at the same time, she was sort of, you know, torn and had mixed feelings, because she's like, why would my husband stab me in the back like that? Like, why would he do something like that? We have no 50 years of a marriage, 60 years of marriage between us, that was, you know, so blissful. Like, why would he act like that? So she was really happy. And then she had to just clean her heart. So she came to her husband and she said that, you know, I'm really happy. I did see Rasulullah, but one thing that just doesn't make sense is, why did you do that to me? Like, why would you do that? So then he explained to her, he said that, I know that you're a very pious lady, right? A very naik lady, you know, a good lady, and you're not able to see Rasulullah in your dream. So I thought that if your heart would become hurt, then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have rahmah on you and you will be able to see Rasulullah. So that's why I devised this plan in such a way that your heart would become hurt and it would become genuinely hurt. You'd become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would be close to you, and whatever your murad was, whatever your desire was, it would be fulfilled. So understand that while we want to be very careful that we're never on the side that we're hurting anyone else's heart, if anyone ever finds themselves on the other side, that their heart is really hurting, don't see that as a difficult situation, don't see that as a bad situation, but see that as an opportunity for a person to use it as a catalyst to grow in the deen, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to raise their maqam in this life and the hereafter. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are more careful and more sensitive to the needs of others, to the emotional needs of others, the psychological needs of others, who are more sensitive to ever hurting people or transgressing any of their rights in any way, shape, or form, and that He makes us amongst those who are always drawing closer to Him, and He creates circumstances in which we can do so. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So every week we spend a little bit of time also after the weekly talk for those who can stay, just in zikr, right, making different type of remembrances, sending, you know, salutations and blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or reciting a verse of the Quran to ourselves and just contemplating on the meaning. So for those who can stay.
Here, you know, most of them, especially this masjid, you know, they have a fight. You know how the fight? Because here, mixed people come for Salah, Tablighi or normal people, you know. So when Tablighi stand for Salah, they don't want to touch anybody their leg, okay. The Salafi guy come next to him, he want to follow the Sunnah to close the leg, you know. Then they start to fight on that, you know. Imam is already key, they come and Imam is starting for Salah. And they, oh, what do you say? Last week happened, the big fight here. So that's why hurting the other brother. That brother said something and said, don't be boss. Then, huh? You didn't boss? I never want to pray next to you. You throw him, you come and stand here. Oh.
So this is one way, inshallah. We'll just spend some time. When I say salawat, we just send salat on Rasulullah. You can read the durood that you read in salah or whatnot, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, salawat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله ولي الذين آمنوا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله ولي المؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. To spend I think just a few minutes inshallah just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم